Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening via our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside, virtually, Dave Manouk. Alongside, virtually, Ezra Ginsberg. I am your host, Drew Mandel. We're with you to discuss the NHL trade deadline and tonight's contest between the Jets and the Senators, which was a 4-2 defeat by the Jets at the hands of the Senators, dropping the Jets' record to 25-14-3 on the season. Gentlemen, it started well for the Winnipeg Jets, a quick 2-0 lead. And you're thinking, you know, maybe this is going to be an easy cakewalk against one of the bottom teams in the league and one of the bottom teams in the North Division. But from that moment on, the Ottawa Senators were, I'm going to say, more opportunistic than the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets had a number of power play opportunities where they could have extended the lead. They weren't able to capitalize on those. And thanks to a couple of gaffes from the normally sure-handed and steady Connor Hellebuyck, the Senators end up victorious on this Monday night. Your thoughts on tonight's contest, Mr. Ginsberg, will start with you.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a more entertaining game than I thought. I think we were all a little bit surprised, especially with that start, right? Like you mentioned, you know, the Jets get out to their early lead, the power play's looking good. And then, you know, obviously, guys, like the Connor Brown goal is a goal that, you know, Hellebuyck gets a piece of with his glove or his body. And, you know, that's one that he's going to want to have back. But, I mean, you got to give Chris Tierney a lot of credit there. Mark Scheifele has, you know, a chance to clear the puck. Tierney makes a good play, keeps it in, you know, finds Connor Brown in the slot. Connor Brown, obviously, on the 8-game goal-scoring streak right now. And this is a guy that, you know, we're very familiar with. Like, this is a guy who was a 20-goal season, you know, what was that, 3 or 4 years ago with the Leafs. Really good player. And, you know, the Senators team, guys, you can say whatever you want about it. They've lost, you know, they had lost 4 games in a row heading into this game, but they were actually on a nice little streak prior to that. And, you know, the Jets have defeated the Senators 5 out of 6 times. So they're going into this game, and we know what the Oilers have done to the Senators this year. And, you know, I think they were, you know, quite simply tired of losing. And, you know, this was just, to me, like a hardworking game. You know, we saw so many turnovers, you know, both shorthanded, even strength. And, you know, they earned this win. Like, I realize a lot of people are looking at that Evgeny Dadonov goal, and they're blaming Hellebuyck. You look at Dylan DeMello was right there with Dadonov, right? Like, Dadonov beats DeMello to the puck. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, Hellebuyck should handle that rebound maybe a little bit better. But Shabbat's just putting that puck on Hellebuyck, just hoping that something like that happens. And the puck was bouncing, right? So I think you have to give the Senators a little bit more credit as opposed to just saying, you know, Hellebuyck let in 2 bad goals and you know, this game was completely his fault. The Senators earned this victory, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think the how many breakaways did the Jets give up tonight? 6?
At least 4. Felt like.
Yeah,
it was like a lot. Were, yeah.
And you can't do that. You know, I mean, the reality is you just can't afford to do that. I don't care who you are when you're giving up breakaways against, you know, you can say the Senators aren't a good team. They are one of the worst teams in the North and in the NHL. But at the same time, they still have guys who can score goals. And so if you give them opportunities, they can make you pay. And that's what the Jets did. The Jets let them stay in this game. They didn't take advantage. Drew mentioned it. They didn't take advantage of all those power play opportunities. They had 3 straight in the second period. Didn't take advantage of it. And, you know, that's when you can put a game out of reach or at least start to regain some momentum. And they weren't able to do that. So, you know, that's tough. You score early and it almost like some people were saying in the chat that the Jets took their foot off the gas a little bit and were felt like they were maybe in cruise control. And to your point, Ezzy, they have beat the Senators, you know, a number of times this season. So they're feeling good about their game overall. But at the end of the day, like, you know, it's still an NHL team that has some talent on it. And, you know, maybe I think the Jets should have taken some inspiration from their farm club playing the Senators because they pounded the Senators farm club this today. But I don't know. Like I said, it just didn't seem like a game that the Jets really had they just seemed out of sorts. And again, whether, you know, Connor Hellebuyck, you're not going to say he should have had those 2 goals because, I mean, again, like he just doesn't normally make those mistakes. He made them, right? And again, we've talked about what benefit you get from having one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. But if he's not having his game, guess what? Guess who it's incumbent on to step up and help him out? And that would be the rest of this team.
You know, go back and look at those goals, guys. Like, yes, Hellebuck, you know, should have had those. Those are definitely shots that especially, you know, the reigning Vezina winner should have. But just go back and look at those goals. And the first one is a turnover. Like, Scheifele doesn't get the puck out. That's a turnover. And DeMelo is just, he's beaten by Dadonov to the puck, right? So, I mean, it's a combination of, like, right there, that's a one-on-one puck battle. And the other one is just a turnover. And, you know, I thought Connor Brown, boys, was maybe the best player on either team tonight. And just going back to what Dave said about, you know, the way, you know, the Jets played in the third period, the second period, I thought the Jets were the better team through the first two periods. And I think it's undoubtedly, you know, clear that the Jets were the better team in the second period, right? Like, we know what the shots were. We talked about the power plays, right? Like, they had good chances. Like, there's two chances that stand out to me, Paul Stastny right in front of the net, and then Andrew Kopp on the second power play unit. That first power play, if I remember correctly, it seemed like the first unit was out there for almost the entire power play, and they had some really good zone time and good scoring chances. So it's not like, you know, the Jets were bad for the majority of this game. It was really the third period. It was a tie game, and you know, a couple of bad decisions, if you want to call it that. Even Brady Tkachuk's goal, guys, right? Like, that's a turnover. Neil Pionk turns the puck over to Brady Tkachuk, and you know, Brady Tkachuk is it's the fourth overall pick. This is a really good player. Like, it's, even though the Senators are the worst team in the division right now, I mean, they have guys that can put the puck in the net, and you know, they've won games this year, even though they're not winning as many games as any of the teams. But I just thought it was a pretty sloppy game for the Jets.
Well, you know, this Ottawa Senators team, for all their struggles this year, what you can say about them is that they have been a hardworking team. They can, you know, they can score goals. They have, I mean, they have scored more than Calgary and Vancouver this year. And I think they're really right next to Montreal in terms of goals for, you know, albeit in more games, but they can score goals. They have offensive talent. What they lack is on the back end, and they lack quality goaltending, but they give you an honest effort for 60 minutes, you know, more often than not. You saw what happened on Saturday night against the Leafs when they were playing the Leafs. The Leafs jumped out to an early 2-0 lead. Ottawa came back with, you know, three unanswered. They ended up losing 6-5 to Toronto, but this Ottawa team, you know, if you don't match their energy and if you don't match their commitment to the details, then they're going to burn you. And I think that's what you saw from the Winnipeg Jets tonight. This was an opportunity for the Jets. You're up 2-0 in the first period. You have a multitude of power plays, you know, throughout the course of the game where you can expand your lead or you can regain the lead after they tied it up at 2-2. The Jets were not good in terms of the attention to details. And when you're not good at, when it comes to the little things against a team, even like Ottawa, a team that works hard, you know, the results haven't been there, but the effort has been there. Then this is what ends up happening. It's not like you know, a team like Calgary is a team that doesn't work hard. And you can maybe get away when your attention to detail isn't perfect. Against the Senators, they're going to keep coming at you. They know where they're lacking, but it's not effort-wise. And that's why, you know, anytime you give up that many breakaways in a game, it's a sign that your attention to detail just isn't there. And that's what you
absolutely
saw. I mean, you can't give up that many breakaways in an NHL game and expect to win.
Well, going back to what I was saying about Hellebuck, Drew, I mean, you know, people are pointing to Hellebuck and those two obvious goals that we talked about, Browns and Dadonov's, but Connor Brown had that, you know, breakaway in the second period. And then if you remember, Ehlers came back the other way and then Brown took the hooking penalty, right? And then there was the save that he made on, it was Alex Formanton on a breakaway, right? So, I mean, those, it's not like they were breakaways that result in scoring chances, right? Like, these were tough saves that Hellebuck made, and I forget how many shots he faced, 25 or something like that, 27. It wasn't a busy night for Hellebuck, and I think that's something else that you have to factor in, guys, here. This was his sixth straight start, and I think there is a chance that Lauren Brossoit gets the next start.
I, you know, and I think that was probably in hindsight. And I know, look, I understand Paul Maurice probably wants to go back with Hellebuck tonight because he's coming off the shutout in Montreal. But, you know, again, those two soft goals that he give up, again, it's attention to detail. Maybe it's maybe you needed another couple nights off from a break. Whatever it might be, the Jets were not crisp, really top to bottom tonight. There were turnovers all over the place. There were blown coverages all over the place. You know, what there was one sequence where, you know, Josh Morrissey looked like he was going to go get the puck.
Yeah.
That was sort of right sitting at the Ottawa blue line. And then he backed off because I think he thought Pullman was going to go get the puck. And so it ends up being a clean breakout for the Senators when the Jets actually had some zone time going on there. And it just, again, these are just, if you go back and you rewatch the game and you'll see a numerous number of times throughout the course of the contest where the attention to detail just wasn't there for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. And I don't know if that's a sign of fatigue. I don't know if it's a sign of taking your opponent lightly. I don't know. You know, it's probably a combination of all of those factors. They just were not crisp tonight. And when you're not crisp, Dave, and you play a team that works hard, you're often going to lose a game.
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, Drew, I think you've put it succinctly. So I think that's what, you know, how you look at it, right? I mean, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, are you going to lose a tremendous amount of sleep over this game? I mean, the reality is if Toronto lost, you had an opportunity to gain points and gain spot, you know, gain a spot in the standing or gain a couple of points, I should say, in the standings and move up a little bit. Again, we mostly think that it's going to be a Edmonton-Winnipeg series in that second three, however they end up finishing. But again, it's a function of effort. And I think we didn't see, like, they outshot the Senators 14-7 in that second period. You know, they had the three power plays in a row. And I think that's one of those situations that you look back on and you say, that's going to be the difference in the game. Because if you score, you regain that momentum. Even though Ottawa tied it to make it 2-2 in the first, if you score early in the third, maybe, or in the second, sorry, maybe that gives you a little bit of momentum. You get going again. But to your point, Drew, I mean, again, Hellebuyck didn't play a good game, so I'm not here defending Connor Hellebuyck, but also giving up that many opportunities. As he said it, like, look, first goal, Scheifele is weak defensively, doesn't get the puck out of the zone. They turn around and score. Second goal was all on Hellebuyck. I mean, really, that was just a terrible goal.
Yeah, just a whiff on a glove save.
Yeah, and then you've got the Pionk.
It's not play not all on Hellebuyck though. It's not on Hellebuyck.
Oh, no, I'm saying I'm talking about on the second goal though.
I know what your point is. As your point is, it should never come to that because it's a turnover to that leads to the shot to begin with. Is that would that be your argument in that case?
Well, yeah. I mean, there are things that happen before a goal, right? Like, yes, Hellebuyck should have had that save, right? But all I'm saying is, like, Scheifele turns the puck over at the blue line to Chris Tierney. He makes a nice pass to Connor Brown, and he goes in. I'm just saying, like, that sequence of events isn't all on Hellebuyck.
Yeah, no, and that's what I meant. And that's what I meant on the when I said Scheifele. I said Scheifele didn't get the puck out, and then I said the first, but I think I meant the second goal. And then you're right, Ezzie. There's no question about it. There's that he should have absolutely have gotten that puck out. So no, that's on Scheifele. And that those are the kind of plays that kill you when you're not when your attention to detail, when you're already thinking, okay, here's offense. You're trying to create offense, but you're still playing, you're supposed to be playing defense. I mean, again, that how many times have we seen that end up in the back of your net? So I 100% agree that goal is as bad as that goal was. Mark Scheifele owns part of that goal simply because if he does what his responsibility is, that puck is out of the zone and it doesn't even come back and become a situation where the Senators have that opportunity. So I 100% agree with you. And again, even the Pionk play, right? You're not safe. You make that mistake and then it burns you. So those are the mistakes that end up that now normally. What we've seen all throughout the course of the season is Connor Hellebuyck has bailed his team out and he's made the save when he's needed to. But when, like we said, he's done it almost every game. He can't do it every single game. I mean, maybe he could, but he can't, you know, if he doesn't, that's when it's incumbent on the team to bail him out.
Having said all that, if they score on those power play, one of those power play opportunities, and they have a one goal lead going into the third period, then, you know, there's a chance that, you know, that game ends differently. Right. So, I mean, it was a tie game going into the third period. And, I know a lot of people didn't like the way the Jets played defensively. I didn't like the way the Jets played defensively, but I don't think I would read too much into this game. I don't think this game does anything for me about this Jets team.
No, I said this to you guys before, and I think I said it on Saturday's show. I think for the next month, for a lot of the next month, some of these games are going to be quite, you know, ugly to watch. And sometimes the Jets are going to come out on the positive end of those games, and sometimes they're going to come out on the negative end of those games, depending on your perspective, of course. But I think that, you know, you have a month worth of hockey before the playoffs. You have four playoff teams that are basically already in the playoffs that don't have very much to play for. And I think, you know, most of these teams, I think that that the the Jets, the Oilers, the Habs, and the Leafs are going to be fairly close to 500 hockey teams from now until the end of the regular season, just because there's not a ton to play for right now. And I think it's going to be really hard on these players to have the attention to detail that's necessary to usually win night in and night out. And so this is where you're going to see, I think, a lot of the coaching is going to have to be a big part here. Coaching, motivation, things of that nature, just because I think these are going to be really difficult games for these guys to play, and for the Jets to play, for the Oilers to play, the Leafs to play, and the Habs to play, for everybody to play, not just the Winnipeg thing specifically, just because of the nature of where the standings are, the nature of the playoff format. Look, the Leafs lost tonight, to the Montreal Canadiens 4-2. I didn't see a second of the game, so I can't speak to the to what that game was all about. But I just think that's what you're going to see, is you're just going to see a lot of sort of middling hockey from here on out, because that's almost what is dictated by the nature of this, the standings the way they are, the schedule the way it is. These guys are sick of playing against the same teams over and over again, and I think you're just going to see sloppy hockey for the next month.
You know, I just wanted to mention, we were talking about Tucker Pullman earlier. I thought Morrissey and Pullman were really sharp tonight. And obviously, Morrissey has, been on that top power play unit. And, we talked about how the Jets, one of the keys in the game was the fact that they couldn't capitalize on those three power plays. But I really liked Pullman's game. And, I liked how he was jumping up into the rush. And, Pullman's been probably the most criticized defenseman on this team. And, we've criticized him at times as well. But I think, over the last, let's say, four, five, six games, I think he's really elevated his game. And, even though the Jets acquired Jordy Benn guys, like, this defense, as it's currently constructed, is the way it's most likely going to look for the rest of the season and going into the playoffs. Yes, there's always the chance that maybe a Ville Heinola, comes into the lineup at some point over the next 4 weeks. But just wanted to put that out there, that I thought Tucker Pullman was really strong, because there was no shortage of turnovers in this game. And even though Neil Pionk turned the puck over, that resulted in Brady Tkachuk's goal, I thought Forbort and Pionk were really solid as well. So again, I'm not going to read too much into this game, guys. It was just one of those games where, one bad period and, a couple of turnovers and not stellar goaltending from Hellebuck really just resulted in a rare loss here to the Senators.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it'll be interesting because if Kevin, we've already done a show today. We did the trade deadline show, and Kevin Cheveldayoff spoke a couple of hours after we finished our show. And he talked about the idea of defensemen and this, the composition of this group. And I think Mike McIntyre asked him, to your point, Drew, will we see a lot of experimentation with the Jets because essentially they've got a guaranteed spot? And in terms of his defensemen, Kevin Cheveldayoff specifically pointed out Ville Heinola and whether Ville Heinola would be in the lineup. Now, we know Ville Heinola is not with the Manitoba Moose. He's on the taxi squad with the Winnipeg Jets. But will he get an opportunity? Will they start to do that? Now, you, of course, have to factor in, like, the recall. They've only got allowed four after today, right? So they only have the four recalls that they're allowed. So,
but there's no roster limits.
No, there's no roster limits. Yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like, in terms of recalls and stuff like that. But I'm saying, if they want to get Heinola in, it'll be interesting to see if they maybe get him an opportunity against. He played well against the Senators. That feels like it was a lifetime ago. But maybe Ville Heinola comes in and gets an opportunity to give this defense a little bit of a rest and give I don't know that it's going to happen. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it seems.
Nobody knows if
it's going
to
happen.
But I thought, to your point, though, Dave, I mean, I thought those were very interesting comments from Kevin Cheveldayoff. And I want to get to them in a second. But first, I see people, in the chat section and in the comments section here. And we appreciate that everyone's joining us. We love so much that you're all here. And it's such an active chat room. And while you're here, make sure you give us a thumbs up and you hit the like button, you hit the subscribe button. And you're listening to, the Illegal Curve Post Game Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. But I see there's people beaking me for my comments saying, that's a cop-out. I'm not justifying. I'm not justifying sloppy play. I'm not justifying efforts not being there each and every night. I'm explaining it. And there's a difference between justification and explanation. I think Ty is saying, well, then they should give back some of their money. And I understand the where the anger comes from when you don't see crisp and when you don't see sort of quality play and maybe the attention to detail not being there night in, night out. But I'm just explaining that from a, you know, from a professional hockey perspective, they, every game isn't the same in terms of the effort because they're human. And I do think that these guys are really into the dragging portion of the season, especially given the standings. I'm not justifying it. I'm not giving them a pass as a result of it. I'm explaining that this is what I believe is going to occur for the Jets and especially all of the other top teams in the North Division from here on out.
Just I don't think it's just the standings. Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's beaking you. I think people are just responding to what you said, Drew. I think everybody's
being... That's fine. They can, I don't mind if they beak me even. Sorry, go ahead.
I think it also... No, I think it... You know, it's a good point that you make because I think it's not only the standings, right? This is unique. This everything about this year is unique. Like, right? Like, we don't have to go over why it's unique. But I think it also has a lot to do with how condensed the schedule is. Like, look at the Jets, right? Like, you're coming off of 17 games in 31 days in March, right? And so you're thinking, oh, it's going to, you know, slow down a little bit. It's not. It hasn't really slowed down, right? Like, the games that were canceled against the Vancouver Canucks, that slowed the schedule down a little bit. But then the NHL rescheduled that game against the Senators, if you remember, last Monday, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. we all remember, but it's been a long day. So just trying to refresh those who don't remember that. But, I mean, it's a very condensed schedule. So I think that factors in as well, right? Like, I agree with you, Drew. I think, you know, not only in the North Division, these teams are sick of facing each other. I bet there's some, like, you don't think the Sabres and the Flyers are sick of facing each other? Maybe not so much for the Flyers because they've been beating the Sabres. But I think across the NHL guys, there's that fatigue that's setting in. And I agree with you, Drew, in the sense that coaches are going to have to find ways at times to get the players up for some of these games, knowing, I mean, look at the Jets had an opportunity to bridge the gap a little bit and instead of being 6 points behind the Leafs, if they won, they would have been 4 points behind the Leafs, right? So obviously the Jets can still catch the Leafs, but there's a really good chance the Jets are going to finish second or third. I think everybody would agree with that, right? So yes. What are you playing for? Well, I mean, what I said on Saturday's show is that you're just playing to be the best that you can heading into the playoffs, right? Like, so with 15, what are there 15 games left here? 15 or 16 games left. So you would rather be 9-4-2 as opposed to 4-9-2, right? Like everyone's going to agree. Everyone's going to agree with that. So 14 games left, right? So, you know, 9-3-2 as opposed to, you know, 3-9-2. The point is these guys are always trying to win games. Like everybody from the general manager, the coaching staff, the players. I mean, these guys are built to win hockey games. They don't necessarily need motivation to win hockey games, but we know these guys are motivated and hopefully the Jets are motivated on Wednesday night because I mean, that was a poor performance. I mean, that was a letdown game. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but that was a game in which the Jets should have won. They were way better than the Senators in the second period, didn't capitalize on some power play opportunities, Dave. And, you know, the Senators, as Drew mentioned, were opportunistic, scored a couple goals in the third, and you got to give them full marks and credit. They deserve to win that game. It wasn't like, you know, the Jets badly outplayed the Senators throughout the whole game, and, Connor Hellebuck was, Anton Forsberg stole that game. Like, the Senators deserve that one.
They deserved it just because they were better than the Jets in terms of the attention to details. That's really, from my perspective, why they deserve to win the game. And I think that's where the struggles are going to come over the next, you know, 14 games, is that attention to detail that was lacking for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Let's hear from Jets head coach Paul Maurice. I believe he's met with the media in Ottawa. No,
he hasn't. Yeah,
or he's met with the Zoom call started. I think our friends at Jets TV, who the video is courtesy of, Dave, are having some technical difficulties, but I believe I saw his name on the screen. Am I wrong?
I think it's ongoing right now is what I'm trying to say to you.
Oh, it's ongoing. Okay, fine. We'll wait for them to be done and then we'll bring it in. Sorry about that. But, you know, let's talk about then Kevin Cheveldayoff's comments. I'll
forgive you, Drew.
Thank you. Kevin Cheveldayoff's comments about Ville Heinola, because I thought they were interesting because mm-hmm. I thought they were, you know,
if people want to hear those comments, where would they go to hear those comments?
They would probably go to illegalcurve.com is where I'm going to guess you want me to say. Yeah. So illegalcurve.com's got all your latest Winnipeg Jets news, of course, talking
and Manitoba Moose.
And Manitoba Moose. Yes. Sorry. Of course, that the Moose victors tonight. So one of the Winnipeg based teams victorious, the Moose beating the Belleville Senators on the back.
Cole Perfetti, baby.
Stellar performance by Cole Perfetti. Two goals and an assist, Dave. Is that what he's? Yeah, there you go. He's telling all that Cole Caulfield hype to tap the brakes a little bit. This is Perfetti time, not Caulfield time there in Laval. And
Drew, are you going to start a Cole versus Cole beef here?
I'm not starting any beef whatsoever. The only beef I would have is if I can grill it on the barbecue, but it's a little wintry for that right now. But I thought that Kevin Cheveldayoff's comments about Ville Heinola today were very interesting in that I think this is his way of telling Paul Maurice publicly that he wants to see Heinola in the lineup and he wants to see him sort of any day now.
You know what? I don't know about that. I took his comments to mean I didn't make any other trades. So I'm going to mention the guy that everybody loves to talk about. Because I don't see Kevin Cheveldayoff calling up Paul Maurice publicly. It just doesn't seem to be his MO. And I just took that as a guy who was talking about a popular player, a player he could reference as someone that they could look towards as a filler, as a possible player who could be, you know, seen as a trade acquisition because he didn't make a lot of trades. Again, that's my interpretation. That's just what I took.
Almost like a red herring that in him trying to distract everybody from what he didn't do by mentioning Heinola.
That would be my interpretation. I don't see him throwing a guy under the bus. I don't think it's a shot across the bow at anybody, any stretch of the imagination. I really did take it as a comment to say, look over there. We didn't make any trades, but we've got this young prospect who, you know, everybody's infatuated with, who's dynamic and can be a game changer potentially if given the opportunity. That's the way I took those comments to mean. I don't think he would. I just don't see it as Kevin Cheveldayoff's MO to do that with in the media. It just doesn't seem, it's not his way really.
But if he's talking about, so I mean, the trade deadlines, you're talking about new players you can bring into your roster. And obviously we know that the only player the Jets brought in is Jordy Benn. And I mean, barring injury, multiple injuries, I'm not sure when Jordy Benn gets into this Jets lineup, and that's probably a good thing given some of his numbers in Vancouver, albeit he did have better numbers a number of years ago when he was with the Montreal Canadiens. But putting that aside, I mean, why are you talking about Heinola if not to sort of say that, you know, that he's almost like the trade deadline acquisition for the Jets if Maurice would play him? I mean, I just don't understand the, you know, you're being asked about why you didn't make a move, and then you're bringing up this player that you've had on your roster or with your taxi squad or in your organization all season long, and you're talking him up as maybe not as the reason why you didn't make a move, but as the alternative to having not made a move. So to me, I don't know what you're talking about right now, Drew. I don't believe it's a shot across the bow of Paul Maurice, but I do think that it's Cheveldayoff's maybe way of trying to get Heinola into the Jets lineup, maybe with a little bit more pressure attached to it.
I don't think so personally.
I didn't listen to the presser, you might be right, Drew. You probably are right, but I think it ultimately comes down to, I think everybody wants to see Ville Heinola play for the Jets, right? You guys would agree with that, just in terms of his upside, his skill, what he's done in a short sample size with the Jets and the Moose. But my question to you guys would be, who's coming out of the lineup for Ville Heinola, right? Like you have to think about that in terms of how well Logan Stanley has played. And obviously Josh Morrissey on the left side is not coming out. Could Ville Heinola play on the right side? Yes, of course he could play on the right side, but that's the bigger question to me, right? Like, so I like when you're talking about, you know, is Ville, I hate when, you know, people or teams talk about, you know, a trade deadline acquisition from your own team. Like, what does that even mean? Right. Like, I understand what it means when a player is injured. Like, you could say Blake Wheeler is a trade acquisition when he comes back. Right. I just personally hate that. But so I think nobody's going to argue that we want to see Heinola line up. It all comes down to when is the time to do it. Right. Like, would you do it next game? Probably not. Look, you do it in those three games, Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe. Is it going to require an injury? Look what it took to get Jansen Harkins into the lineup. I think there are a lot of similarities there. I don't think that there's anybody in the Jet Pop 6 right now defense that's particularly playing poorly that would necessitate putting Ville Heinola. I personally would like to see Heinola in the lineup just because I think if you want to use him in the playoffs, you would probably rather, you know, see him get into some games. because as Dave has talked about probably for the last 6 years now on this show, you want a guy like Heinola playing in games. So if he's not going to play for the Moose, you want him playing for the Jets. So I agree with you in that respect, that I do think he should be playing. Your guess is as good as mine, Drew, in terms of, you know, when we see him. It could be next game. It could be, you know, the second last game of the year. I have no idea.
And, you know, to add to Ezzy's thought, I mean, the Moose are now have a 10-day break between their next five-game series against Stockton, which are the last five games here in Winnipeg on their schedule. Then they go on the road. So there won't be any Moose games for Heinola to play in if he was to be reassigned down to the Moose. But obviously, again, over the next 10 days, I should say. So if the Jets are going to want him in the lineup, it's going to be in the NHL, not in the AHL.
You have 14 games left in the regular season. And, I mean, let's assume the last 4 or 5 games is really where you want to be. You know, you want to be ramping up so that when the playoffs start, you're at full capacity. You have a chunk of games now that are largely exhibition hockey games. And I know that that's not the way that the team is going to approach it. And they're never going to say that publicly. But all the top 4 teams in the North Division have this chunk of time now where they can choose to maybe get some players some rest in the course of what has been a tremendously compact season. And you have a guy in Heinola who hasn't played since when, Dave? When was the last time he played for the Moose? It's been a while.
Well, he wasn't in the last series against Laval, so it's got to be probably, I would think, probably around the end of March.
Okay, so the guy
I don't know. I'll look it up right now, actually.
Doesn't matter, but he hasn't played hockey in a good 3 weeks, at least, probably, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's say 2 to 3 weeks.
So, I mean, if he's your next man up, come an injury. And I know that Jansen Harkins, you know, was able to step into the Jets lineup after Wheeler got injured and, you know, coming in relatively seamlessly. Well, Heinola's going to be coming in a much different role than Jansen Harkins did if he comes into the lineup because of an injury on the Jets defense. I just think you got this chunk of games in the middle here between now and when you start to ramp up that you need to use him to see what you have. And I think that was Kevin Cheveldayoff in his comments today, trying to encourage Maurice to see it through that lens, maybe. Well,
and the only thing I would say, actually, Drew, is rather than waiting, to your point, rather than waiting till the end of the season,
don't wait till the end.
Do it now. I agree with you. Like, now is the time, because the truth is, whatever happens in the next 4 or 5 games, I mean, it's not like you're going to go and lose 5 games in a row because you inserted Philly Hanol in the lineup, because if that's sufficient to cause you to lose, then you're not a very good team. Mm-hmm. So most of us think that Philly Hanol would improve the team, not make them worse. But the reality is, to your point, and we've talked about it, and Paul Stastny, who has a lot more NHL games than anybody else in the chat, on the screen, or a lot of players in the NHL, he said, you don't just get to turn it on and say, okay, well, now we want to play playoff hockey, so let's turn it on with 3 games to go. So I agree with you. With 14 games to go, if you're going to do something, now is that time to tinker. And Paul Maurice talked, and see, it's interesting, though, because Paul Maurice talked about after the game against Edmonton on the 17th, he wants his lineup to kind of look the way it's going to look. So if that's your thinking, Paul Maurice, well, then you've got the game against the Senators, the game against the Leafs, and the game against the Oilers. So you have 3 games left to tinker. We're going to tinker with your ticker. So now would be really the time to kind of give that opportunity to see what you've got. And if you can, again, if you start to roll, if it starts to catch fire, well, maybe you have to do something. And if it doesn't, well, you're going to get Blake Wheeler back, you think, healthy when they come back and get ready to resume that 3-game series against the Leafs, you know, next week. So to me, that's maybe when you start to think about your lines. But I agree with you. I think, you know, it's not exhibition, but, you know, it's not as if they can't really, I get that they, from a television perspective, you kind of have to sell the narrative, but it's not like you have to sell the fans, hey, we're you know, like, you know, when you're playing the 7th exhibition game, none of the regulars want to play and it's full of AHL guys. And you have to present that like it's a, you know, polish that turd, because realistically it's not a very exciting hockey game and you're trying to sell it for $150, $200.
By the way, Dave, I think polish that turd just became the official slogan of Illegal Curves.
So anyways, all I'm saying is that it's not as if you have to like sell it to the fans who are going to be there. You know, I get that you want to have an exciting product, but I don't think like inserting a guy like Villanueva, for example, or a Christian Vesalainen, or whatever it is, or however it's going to look, is gonna impact you so negatively. So yeah, there's Kenny Weeb.
Yes, there's Kenny Weeb. Is gonna let's hear from Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice the post game comments following tonight's 4-2 defeat to the Ottawa Senators.
Been a long time since your group gave up that many breakaways in a game. Anything to attribute that to tonight?
Oh, turnovers, Ken. We had a hard time managing the puck physically and mentally. You know, you have a game like you have tonight, it's pretty standard. You come out and pick apart your team. And, you know, I always thought that when you're playing a team that, like Ottawa, where they are in the standings, it ends up being disrespectful. You know, that they played hard, they played well, they played well enough to beat us. We gave up four breakaways. So you're not winning that game, or you don't deserve to. And kind of just leave the rink, not looking at our goalie at all. You know, I mean, he stopped a bunch of breakaways, not looking at just my job is to keep him sharp, keep him ready, keep him right. We weren't there today. So that's what I'll think about for 2 days. And work hard to get him back to where we were a couple of days ago.
Next to Jason Bell from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Paul, a lot to unpack in your last answer there. But you like that as we asked you about should teams play on trade deadline day. And I'm just wondering, what was focus there tonight with your team? Because from the goaltender out, it looked like it was a bit of a subpar performance.
I don't know that you contributed to that. That one, obviously, you know, we haven't had one of these in a while where we kind of threw out the lineup, a real hard time with the puck, and then did things to make it worse. So I don't think it is. I really don't. I don't think there was any real focus on the trade deadline here. They're not all hanging around the TV waiting by their phones. We weren't really stomping around the morning skate, but that's never a tell because we weren't particularly good in the morning skate before the Montreal game, and we played exceptionally well on that Saturday night. So took our eye off the ball. Whatever it is, coach didn't have him ready. That's it.
We're next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Paul. You know, for players, you can go into the video room and kind of figure it out. How does the coach figure it out when like you didn't get ready?
Well, you take a look, a real fine look at the game. Find out if there's any light. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot there. I mean, I think on almost everything that we did, we weren't executing anywhere near the way I think we can. And then you'll ask yourself, is this a trend? And I would say, no, it's not a trend. But make a decision on whether you think it's a one-off. Decide what your bodies look like tomorrow from a health point of view, whether getting on the ice makes more sense. We're loosening up some of those hands that were, boy, we had a hard time with it tonight. So those are the things we'll do between now and tomorrow.
Go next to Carter Brooks from Game On. Go ahead, Carter.
Hi, Coach. A number of years ago, the Pens, is this still a pesky team to deal with? And so why?
You know, I think they played a different style of game, a few years back. I think they play hard. I think all year they've played hard, right? They got and they compete kind of straight through. I think when they tied the game, they looked different after, right? They get a little more energy, a little more jump. And then we just never did. Like we never, you know, we had some shifts for momentum, but I don't think you'll find they had the puck at our end very much, but it just, they didn't need to, right? I'd like to tell you more about that team. They've played hard every game that we've played against. But that's a fact. They compete hard. That's fair.
Go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. Aggression usually works in favor when your team is trying to push and pinch and do all those things, and it seemed that you just got caught. I know hands weren't there and a number of things, but was it execution tonight? Was it effort in that regard? How did you end up in those positions where you were, you know, trying to seal up and ended up just letting another way?
Yeah, I thought our had a big piece to what we were doing. I don't think our feet and our heads helped our hands, but we had a hard time handling the puck. really hard time having the puck, making some, you know, getting by first layer, just pucks that got knocked down. And tough night, fellas. Like, you get the list of things that happened in a hockey game. We weren't very good at it. The coaches at the top. That's all I got for you. How about that? If you feel tomorrow that I've shorted you on an answer tomorrow, but I mean, I look, we weren't any good tonight. The Ottawa Senators deserved to win the hockey game. We're bringing all these players back tomorrow and we'll be okay. Fair enough. Does anybody feel they have a really critical question left to ask? Ken, you look like you're...
What are your impressions of Jordy Benn and what he can bring? How do you plan on using him?
Yeah, so there's the kind of the weight and grit of a guy that's played a bunch of games in the NHL, that can play a hard game, can play a heavy game, moves the puck a little bit. I mean, we, you know, have basically a rookie in our lineup in our six now, and for the most part, almost two more kind of sitting on the outside. We just felt, you know, that the depth was going to be something that you needed to add. He's, you know, just reputation-wise, spectacular human being. That was important to us too, because we like what our room's done this year. We like what they are together. So he's a hard, competitive man. And that's the kind of guy we wanted to make sure we would bring in that would compete along with the rest of the balls we have back there.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
"We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?"
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
I haven't seen somebody want to get away from other people as badly as Paul Maurice did from the media since I want to get away from you two, Chucklesfords, more often than
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, that was so obvious.
Dad joke.
You guys know me too well. Maybe my jokes or my personal excuse for jokes are getting a little too predictable. Jets head coach Paul Maurice not in the mood to humor anybody in his post game media availability.
Like you could feel it. Like even though I know some people are getting honest here. I mean, the streaming, it was a little bit choppy, but like you could tell that he wanted that to end, you know, after, I don't know, three or four questions. And, you know, he was saying, does anybody else have any critical questions? And he said, boys, several times that the coach didn't have the team ready to go, which is, you know, you don't hear Paul Maurice say that often. I mean, unless there's like a really bad first period, right? Yeah, it was a little bit surprising how upset he seemed. And I get it because, you know, we talked about it, guys. The third period was pretty bad. And the first two periods were pretty good. Like the Jets easily could have gone into that third period with a one goal lead or two goal lead, right, Dave? But we don't see Maurice, you know, he's a pretty polished guy, right? Like we've been covering him, you know, since he took over for Claude Noel. And we know that he can talk and, you know, he's a very articulate guy and loves the game, but that's the most kind of, I mean, I don't think he was, you know, to the point where he was, you know, raising his voice or anything like that, but you could tell he was annoyed.
I would just say that much like Kevin Shoveldayoff, I think Paul Maurice usually knows what he's doing. And I think when he talks like that, when he says it's on the coach, I mean, that's because he doesn't want to spread the blame to the number of players that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he wasn't ready. I'm not absolving him. I think he is the coach and he has to have his team ready. And to be honest with you, if they're not ready and if he sees that they're not, you know, you've given up a two goal lead, it's 2-2, then you get them going and it's your responsibility. But I also have to tell you that again, there are a lot of players, especially some of the leadership. I mean, remember, he started this trip, asked about Blake Wheeler not having your captain on the trip. And he said, well, there's going to be other guys who are going to have to step up and assume that leadership role. Well, okay, go for it. I mean, there's guys who were in the leadership role who didn't play a particularly good game, made a number of mistakes. Mistakes ended up in the back of the net. You've got to have a better game. So I think he's not going to call those guys out, though. I mean, guys, how long have we been doing this for? Paul Maurice isn't calling Mark Scheifele out for mistakes he makes in a game. He's not
Torts. He's not Daryl Sutter.
No, like, he's not going to call those guys out. He's a
different type of leader. And I agree with you 100%, Dave. Like, he's obviously going to downplay it. We'll see how the Jets respond. Like, this has been a big theme throughout the year. When the Jets lose a game, they usually respond really well. So I said this earlier, right, Drew? Like, I'm not worried about this game, but we'll see what happens on Wednesday night because you know you've got the Leafs the night after, and you have to come back with a much better effort. This was a lot of this had to do with effort.
Yeah, effort and attention to detail. Absolutely right. And what did he say? He said that the morning skate, the attention to detail and the morning skate wasn't great. And, you know, he said that it wasn't great on Saturday either. Now, they were still able to obviously play a very complete game on Saturday in their dominance of the Montreal Canadiens. But, you know, I go back. All the evidence points to that it's hard for these guys to play these games right now at this stage in the season. Be it the compact schedule and being tired, be it the fact that there's no real playoff races to speak to. That's just the evidence points to that. It's not an excuse. I'm not saying it should be allowed. I'm not saying that is a reason why they should be able to get away with that, but evidence points to it. So you have to look at what the evidence points to and extrapolate it from there. I mean, this
like Claude Noel used to say, Drew, like not every game's going to be a Picasso, right? Like this certainly was not a Picasso. This was me drawing stick figures.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Ezzy. It was you drawing stick figures, and I mean, I've seen how you draw, and stick figures are really, you know, that might be your version.
Your 3-year-old can draw better than I can, Drew.
You're right. Okay, so let's put the game to the side right now. Let's talk about the trade deadline. So the Jets, we know the only thing they do is get Jordy Benn. You know, when today began, when the trade season began, the Toronto Maple Leafs were the best team in the North Division. Nothing has changed in my mind. The Leafs are still the best team in the North Division. You know, Edmonton, the Jets' chief competition, they go out and they acquire Dmitry Kulikov. That's basically the only move that they make. The Jets obviously get Jordy Benn. That's the only move they make. Montreal makes some moves on the fringe as well, getting Eric Staal, getting John Merrill, getting Eric Gustafson from Philadelphia. So they make some depth moves as well. So before the trade deadline, Toronto was the best. Then Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Montreal are pretty closely linked to one another. After the trade deadline, Toronto's still the best.
Nothing.
And Edmonton,
changed.
Montreal, and Winnipeg are pretty close to one another. Nothing has changed. No. Did the Jets miss an opportunity here today in not finding a way? And I know what Chevy said, and I know what he says all the time about how he's taking calls and he's making calls and he's picking up the phone and he's hanging up the phone and all that nonsense. You know,
maybe he doesn't hang up the phone. Maybe he just leaves it off the hook,
and that's why he couldn't make any deals. Yeah. But it's a results-oriented business, especially in the general manager suite as well. Did the Jets miss an opportunity in not getting somebody else for this team?
Yeah, I think so. But like, this is what I would say, guys. Like, we talked about it on the Saturday show. We've talked about it on the post-game show. Like, we talked about David Savard and Josh Manson. I've said, you know, ad nauseum, that I thought that the right side you wanted to address more than the left side. And when some of those players, it, like, we don't know the inner workings of what happened with Josh Manson. Like, we don't know how close the Jets were to acquiring Manson. But like, if you're asking me, you know, like Jamie Oleksiak, for example, makes the Jets better. But does Jamie Oleksiak turn the Jets from a good team to a great team? No. Right. So like of all the players that we've talked about, like, put it this way, I think the Jets are the second best team in the division. I think if Connor Hellebuyck is the best goalie in any series the Jets are in, so that includes against Edmonton, against Toronto, against Montreal, I think the Jets can absolutely go to the West final. I really do think that. I think it's completely wide open. We know this is a very unique year. The Toronto Maple Leafs are more talented than the Jets, I think. I think the Jets forward group versus the Leafs forward group, they match up very well. But I think the Leafs defense is clearly better. I think you guys would agree with that. And, you know, Jack Campbell's emergence has kind of come out of nowhere, right, with Freddie Anderson injured. So I like the moves. Of all the moves that were made, Drew, of the four teams that you discussed, I like the Leafs' moves better. And even though you had to give up the first-round pick to get Nick Foligno, you paid a high price. And I still think, you know, you're going for it this year. You have 11 pending UFAs or 10 pending UFAs, whatever it is. But I do like the Leafs' moves, but I don't think any of the other moves really move the needle at all.
Dave, I want to get you in on this, but first I want to read the quote from Toronto Maple Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe. The Leafs lost to Montreal today by a 4-2 margin. Here's the quote from Sheldon Keefe. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Quote, "We clearly just weren't ready to go today. That is my job. It is the coach's job to get the team ready to play. We weren't ready to play. That one falls on me." Clearly, Sheldon Keefe, Paul Maurice singing from the same song, the
same playbook
in their post game comments tonight. And I think both coaches are realizing that this is going to take a really good coaching job from here until the regular season, because these players are struggling to get through some of these games because of the lack of meaning to a lot of them, Dave.
Yeah, and I think, again, like I said, these guys have their teams in first and second, respectively. So, I mean, it's not as if they're bottom-of-the-barrel teams scraping along and they're trying to take it on them. Again, what have we said about the Jets all season long? They have a bad performance, and they always tend to rebound. And that, they don't allow the bad performance to get pulled into the next one. And whether that's because Connor Hellebuyck steals something or because the team wakes up, regardless, the truth is there hasn't been a lot of that repeat from the team. So, again, the coaches fall on swords all the time because what are they going to do? Guys know that you're not – look, their most important job isn't pissing on and shitting on their players, so the media will have a greater field day with that and spin it the way it's going to spin. They want to go in there. They're going to go in there, and a guy like Paul Maurice, there's a reason why his players love playing for him. People might not like him. People might not like some of his moves, but his players all seem to really appreciate who he is as a coach, and it's because he does. You can disagree with me all you want, but it's the truth. And so the truth is that the players like him because he doesn't
go. He's got their back.
Yeah. He's got their back. He's not going to go in. He's going to say what he said tonight. And everybody's going to be talking about Paul Maurice falling all over himself and taking the blame and it being about the coach. And then you move on. And then tomorrow, I don't know what the schedule is, because in the Jets thing, they weren't sure and certain whether they're going to practice or take the day. And then the next day, it's out of mind because you've moved on to the next game and you're focused on that game. He's a veteran coach, guys. This is what he does.
This isn't his first rodeo, that's for sure. And, you know, you make a good point, Dave. If the Jets end up beating Ottawa on Wednesday, nobody's going to be talking about, you know, Monday night's post-game presser. Like, no one will care.
No.
If the Jets lose against the Senators, maybe, you know, we'll be talking a little bit about it because for whatever reason, the Jets weren't able to beat the Senators. But, yeah, I mean, you know, because we cover the team so intimately, you know, we seem to, you know, sometimes overanalyze what is said, but, you know, it ultimately comes down to Maurice was not happy with the way he played. And I don't think any of the players were happy with the way they played. I mean, I haven't listened to the post game audio yet, guys. And obviously we're going to have it up on the website, illegalcurve.com, because I am a company man. But who in that dressing room is going to be happy with that performance?
To Ezzy's point, Connor Hellebuck's quotes post game, "I'm a little mad at myself. A couple of bad mistakes, not good enough. Sometimes," he's talking about the bad bounce that he didn't handle. "Sometimes, but in that case, I have got to have that. So that's on me." So again, I mean, I'm not surprising to Ezzy's point, and he's right. It's not as if the players are like, "Oh, we thought we played an amazing game. We deserve to win."
He's the reigning Vezina winner, and he's arguably the front runner for the Vezina trophy. Do you think anybody is going to give him a hard time for one or two bad goals? Come on.
Look, the Jets are 25-14-3. The Leafs are 28-11-3. Both teams are playoff bound. The coaches will take a loss. They will wear it on their shoulders if the players, more often than not, you know, get points at a 620, 630, 700 percentage. That's why there's no panic button being pressed. Lose two in a row to Ottawa, lose three in a row overall, then you can begin to find that panic button. It was a lousy game for the Winnipeg Jets.
And that's it.
Yeah. And that's it.
Really? Sometimes you just have to say that. And like you said, Drew, move on to the next game.
That's right. And then it'll be interesting to see what happens with this Raw. I mean, does an injury happens tomorrow?
Yeah.
Maybe I can't say tomorrow. Next week. An injury happens next week to the Jets defense. Is Ville Heinola the next defenseman in? Is Jordy Benn the next defenseman in? Or does it depend to whom that injury happens? If it's an injury to Poolman or Stanley, does that maybe give more of an inclination to bring Benn into the lineup, or an injury to, let's say, Pionk or Morrissey? Morrissey. Does that bring more of an inclination for Heinola into the lineup?
Well, I mean, again, I think it's more going to be situational. I mean, Jordy Benn can play either side. That was one of the things that they referenced about him in the Cheval Dayoff presser, was the fact that he's got that versatility to play either side. Ville Heinola, again, is a left side guy, and he didn't really, I'm trying to think, like when he and Dylan Sandberg were paired up, Dylan Sandberg with the Moose I'm talking about, played on the right-hand side. Ville Heinola stayed on his left. He did do a little bit on the right, but for the most part, and I don't think they're going to start experimenting with that at the NHL level.
Right.
You know, that's something that you would really do at the AHL level to get him comfortable. A guy like Sammy Niku, for example, is a left shot who obviously who's more comfortable on his right, but can play either side. So again, I don't know that you're going to necessarily do that with Ville Heinola. I think Ville Heinola would come in on the left-hand side if you need a replacement for one of those three guys. I don't think you're just putting him in. I don't think he's your next man in. If you have a replacement on the right, I wouldn't think that they're going to go with Ville Heinola. I could be wrong. Or what they could do is they could flip a guy who's capable of playing on his his offside to that side. But I don't see that happening.
My question is, which I didn't really express very well, is basically, does it depend on who's coming out of the lineup to determine who's coming into the lineup?
And Drew, you know that is often the case, right? With not just defense, but forward, except, in a situation like Jansen Harkins, because he can play center, he can play on the wing, and obviously defense are different than forwards. It depends, how deep you are. And that, and again, like, people I see in the chat room are talking about Jordy Benn, and look at Jordy Benn is an NHL defenseman. I wouldn't be surprised if other teams were trying to acquire him. He's a depth defenseman. He's not a top six defenseman on this Jets team. You're acquiring him because we've talked about this so many times. You ideally want to have 9 or 10 NHL defensemen, right? So if an injury happens to, a Logan Stanley or Tucker Poolman, for sure, I would assume it would be Jordy Benn. Obviously, after the quarantine happens, it comes down to, you have to find a way to get Ville Heinola in the lineup. If that means taking out Logan Stanley, you might have to do that.
It's
like healthy scratching Logan Stanley is what I meant. And I don't think that means there's going to be a controversy, but I agree with you, Drew. Like, I don't think you want to wait until game 55 to get Ville Heinola in.
I don't think there's a reason to.
You would say, okay, well, is it going to have to be an injury like it was to Blake Wheeler to get Jansen Harkins into the lineup? Again, like, you have to make that decision. Are you going to take Tucker Poolman out of the lineup to get Ville Heinola in? Well, again, he's a right shot defenseman. Ville Heinola, to Dave's point, hasn't played on the right side with either the Moose or the Jets. And I wouldn't know if he's played on the right side, in Finland or in the World Juniors. I don't believe he has. So, you do the math. I mean, there are only three left shot defensemen, right? It's probably not going to be Morrissey, and it's probably not going to be Forbort. So we'll see what happens. But I do think he's got to play. It's been, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks? What did we say?
No, a month. It's been a month.
A month, 13, yeah.
Yeah, the 13th. So, March 13th was his last game.
So if you want, Drew, to your point, if you want that to be your trade deadline acquisition, he's got to get into some games before the playoffs start in mid-May.
Well, you know, that was what I was saying before. It's like right now you're at game 42. By game 52, if you're healthy, you want to know game 52, 53, 54, 55, 56. You want to continue to build each and every one of those games so that when game 57, also known as the first game of the playoffs, that's when you want to be firing on all cylinders. So if Heinola is an option, if you think he's a realistic option, you need to use games, you know, 43 through 53 to sort of make that determination from my perspective. Now, I don't believe that Paul Maurice thinks that Ville Heinola is an ace up his sleeve ahead of the playoffs. But, you know, I mean, I go back to what Kevin Cheveldayoff said earlier. I think that Chevy wants to see what they have in Heinola between now and playoff time, just so that there's a little bit more comfort that if you need 8, 9, 10 defensemen and go on a playoff run, Heinola certainly has a little bit of experience behind him rather than putting him right into the fire of a playoff series, Dave.
Yeah, and look, he was playing extremely well for the Manitoba Moose. I mean, he looked extremely good. He was running the power play. I was joking. It looked like he had eyes in the side of his head because he was seeing, his vision was just phenomenal. And he didn't look like he was struggling at any point, really, in the AHL. And the AHL, guys, is still a good league. You know, it's the second best league in the world, you know, arguably with the KHL, I guess. But you've got all these players. You've got a good mix. And Ville Heinola looked great. And again, to Ezzie's point, he hasn't played in a month. And that's not an ideal situation. You guys know where I stand when it comes to prospects and playing. And look what we're seeing right now with Cole Perfetti, right? He had 2 goals, 1 assist. Coach Pascal Vincent spoke to how he's looking. And Cole Perfetti himself, when I asked him about it tonight in the postgame, he said, you know, this is not supposed to be a 19-year-old's league. This is an older man's league. Normally he'd be in the OHL. And I asked him, I said, is this game slowing down for you a little bit? And he didn't denigrate the AHL, but he just said he's really coming to understand and kind of, you know, pick up on it. And he has 3 straight, you know, multi-point games for the Manitoba Moose. And again, like I said, I thought he looked excellent tonight and had 2 goals and 1 assist. So I think there's a value, and I understood why the Jets took Ville Heinola up. I don't know why they didn't leave him here, actually. I mean, I guess the insurance still applies. But, you know, the reality to me is if you're not going to use them, and now would be the time, it doesn't make it, like, it, to your point, Drew, to what you've been talking about, it makes sense to now use him more than ever, right? Because if you're again, like I said, there's 10 days before the next Moose game when they play their final series here in Winnipeg. So you're not going to get him into a Moose game if you're saying, well, we'll leave him out here, and then when we come back, we can throw him into a game, you know, the day we get back or the day after. Well, they're not going to be playing the day after. So to your point, you got to get him into some games. May as well do it now. Keep him. Again, it's been a month already since he's played. He's too young to be missing that much time. And while Jansen Harkins did say, and I will, normally I crap all over practice because I say games are way more important, especially for young players in practicing. Jansen Harkins did say that the taxi squad has been very good in that regard in terms of staying crisp and how he stayed ready. But to your point, Drew, it's not going to be 7 minutes in a game for Ville Heinola. There's going to be a greater expectation on him.
He could be on the top pair, right?
Exactly, Ezzie. So that's why I'm saying you're not going to want him. You're not going to. It's not the same. It's not exactly the same. It's not apples to apples there.
You can't ease him in like the Jets have been able to shelter Jansen Harkins playing that fourth line role with Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis. If and when, I mean, it's hard to shelter defensemen, especially a guy that's a puck moving offensively inclined defenseman like Ville Heinola. I mean, the Jets have been trying to do it with Logan Stanley and they got good results doing it, but that's a lot easier when you're talking about a guy you have slotted in on your third pair. And that's what they were giving him, sheltered minutes, you know, ozone faceoffs, things of that nature when they could, when he was sort of getting his feet wet and getting more comfortable with the NHL game. Time will tell. That's it. Let's wrap it up for tonight. Ezzie, go spend some quality time with your significant other. Dave, you do the same. My wife.
No. Everybody's sleeping at the Ginsburg household.
Yeah. Why are we?
It's been a long day.
We got a lot of people here. We don't have 100 likes yet in this video. That's a disappointing thing, guys.
Hit that like button.
Hit that like button.
Subscribe button. Do it.
Don't make Dave lecture you, folks. Nobody wants to see that. He's got the, you know, son of a teacher. He's got that wagging finger out there, and you don't want to see that Manuk finger going up and down at you like that.
Wag harder, boy.
That's right. Exactly. Shea Carter, boy. We thank everybody for joining us on the post-game show. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. Ring the bell. All those things like you see Mike recommending to do on the screen. Wednesday night, post-game show right around 8:30, 8:35, somewhere around that point in time after the Jets and the Senators. Same thing with Thursday night with the Jets and the Leafs. And, of course, the flagship program, Saturday morning, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. It's been a busy day. In case you missed anything, illegalcurve.com is where you can catch up. You can see the post game from the Winnipeg Jets, the Manitoba Moose. They were victorious as well tonight. 5-1, if I'm not mistaken, Dave.
Correct.
5-1 over the Belleville Senators, the Cole Perfetti show tonight. So you can check that out.
Mikael Burden, big assist, Mikael Burden.
Mikael Burden. So check that out on illegalcurve.com. Keep it, as our buddy Huss likes to say, locked and loaded over there. Big thank you to all of our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. Support those fine businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Wednesday night's post-game show, we wish you good night. And good luck.